that. Because man is the creature he is, whether he is placed or misplaced in the centuries past, present or future, is no assurance he gets smarter or better. The fact that our story takes place upon some man-inhabited planet is no guarantee of brotherly love or peace. In fact, though his planetary address may have changed, man has not. So, beware.
Victor, how long are we going on like this?
What are you talking about?
You have shut yourself up in that laboratory. You've given up all your other patients.
That's my business, isn't it?
It's no life for me, Victor. We're never together anymore. All I do is bring you pounds and pounds of baby food 3 times a day. We could feed an entire nursery on that amount. I want to know, what have you got in that laboratory?
Mystery drama, The Permanent Man, adapted from a tale by William Morrow, especially for Mystery Theater by Gerald Keane, stars Robert Dryden. It is a lunar year, 2120, in a small colony of men living on Neptune. As everyone knows, oxygenated life on Neptune is only possible inside a geodesic dome. And indeed, that was preferable to those early days when Dr. Vigo first arrived and all the dome plates were not yet in place. And everyone had to wear spacesuits carrying their own life support system. Dr. Vigo had arrived on a shuttle in 2099. And let me tell you, the Neptunians were glad to see him. In fact, they had built him his own dwelling right near the spaceport, where everybody and anybody with stellar ills could get to see him.
Next.
Are you the security police?
That's what the sign says. Your papers, please. Uh-huh. All in order. You're on the O300 to Venus?
Yes, sir.
Have you had clearance from Dr. Vigo?
Clearance?
Health check. What did you say your name was?
Oh, it's, Tech. T-E-C-H.
I don't see a doctor's check off here.
Well, I have the district overchief's signature. Isn't that enough?
Oh, yes, so you have. I didn't turn the page. Your flight leaves at 0300. Here's that manifest. Ah, 25 males, 25 females. You know this is a space probe for the genetic thin air colony.
Probe? Well, the overchief told me the dome was in place. You're ready for colonization.
Well, have a good trip.
Excuse me, I just thought of something.
What's your problem, Tech?
Dr. Vigo. I've never met him. Does he live far?
Check the sentry outside. He'll direct you.
Who is it?
My name is Tech.
Face the lens. Don't turn away.
I'd like to see Dr. Vigo.
What about? You don't look sick.
Well, it's a little hard to explain being outside and talking into a camera lens in the door.
I can't take any more charity patients this month.
Well, I'm not asking for charity. I have 300 credits in my account.
Well, why did you say so? Just a minute. Hi, Vigo. Did you say 300 credits?
Yes, sir.
Young man like you? Why, even on Earth, I could only earn 20 credits a year, and I'm a specialist in nuclear medicine.
Well, it's 300 credits. I inherited them.
Well, just don't stand there. Come in. Follow me into the laboratory. My wife's taking a nap in the consulting room, and I don't wish to disturb her. You first.
Uh-huh.
Turn sharp left here. It's tricky, huh? Now, right. Now, hold it. Press that red button to the right of the steel door.
But, Doctor, it's your house. Why don't you press the button?
Because when a patient comes to see me, I stand behind him. I don't know you. You first. Press the button firmly. Go to that chair you see facing the marble desk and sit down.
Uh-huh.
Right. Hey, excuse me while I take a look at this scope.
What is it?
An adaptation of the heat seek installations.
Well, what does it show you?
That you're not armed.
Doctor, don't you trust me?
On Neptune, I don't trust anybody. Well, you're clear. So I suppose we find out what's troubling you.
Doctor, I'm 25 years old. I was born on Neptune, and I shall die on Neptune.
No doubt. Unless you'd like to get into the Mars or Venus colonizations. But dying here is more civilized, I'm told.
You're joking with me, but I'm serious. I don't think I have long to live.
What did you say your name was?
Tech.
I'll tell you something, Tech. 75% of my patients also believe death is around the corner. My own wife, same thing. It's due to the rationing of oxygen inside the dome. It's affected many people here. But you've got to fight it. Things will get better. You'll adapt. Already they've clamped down on immigration, so there'll be more oxygen for those of us who live here. I can give you some medication to heighten your awareness and desire to go on from day to day.
But I don't want that, Doctor.
You wish to die.
We're all going to, isn't that so? Someday? So, I've decided the most rational thing to do is to give my body to science.
When did you decide that?
Oh, I've had it in my mind for some time. It's not a hasty thought.
It's a noble thought, Take. But if you just fill out this form and have it notarized and put through the interstellar bio-recording channels, when I get it back cleared, I'll put it in the files. When your time comes, it's all automatic. Science will get your corpus.
But you don't understand, Doctor. I wish to donate my body to science now.
You wish me to kill you?
Yes.
I have no patience with that nonsense. If you're serious and wish to do away with yourself, go do it by yourself. Put on a suit, head for the airlock, leave the dome, open the suit, and let the atmosphere squash you flat. Now, will you please go?
I didn't mean to make you angry, Doctor.
You've taken up enough of my time and insulted me to boot. If you please, the way out is the way you came in.
Doctor Vico, don't dismiss me until you've had a chance to hear me out. Now, isn't it more valuable for medical research to have a healthy young specimen for examination and teaching than a decayed, aged corpse?
Tech, you're simply foolish. You think you're in trouble. Life has no meaning. I don't want to know what it is.
Well, Doctor, wouldn't my body, dead or alive, help blaze a trail?
Did you say dead or alive?
Oh, why not? A human guinea pig.
You're insane. You better surrender yourself to the authorities and be sent to an asylum for treatment.
Doctor, I've heard about you. You think I came to you by accident? I could have taken the shuttle to Johns Hopkins or the Lennon Institute and made them the same offer.
No, why didn't you?
If I'm handing over my body for research, I want it to be new research. New trails, as you put it. Not some tired old experiments on DNA or longevity or prenatal determination. If I know... You've been doing analysis and verification on humans. Well, experiment on me. Well, why does your conscience bother you now?
That's a good question, Tech. I've never denied there's some research which can only be conducted while the subject remains alive and conscious.
But that's not what I want. You can keep my heart beating or my organs functioning. If I say yes, that's up to you. But I will only hand over what is mine to give. My mind, if you can guarantee I will no longer be able to think or to remember. No thinking. No
memory.
What is it you wish to forget?
There's nothing on Neptune I wish to remember. You see, all my life, I wanted to be a priest, to devote myself to God's work, and that's been denied me. I was born at the wrong time, too late. 900 years ago, I might have joined the Crusades. I was born into this world of scientific know-how. No room for the spirit, no room for miracles or devotion to a deity. So, I hope that if my brain no longer has to deal with insignificant man, perhaps God will rescue me and take me to a world no rocket can reach. Doctor, I'm willing to take that chance.
Does anyone know you came here?
No, Doctor.
You swear it?
Yes.
But your prolonged absence will cause alarm and lead to a search for you.
I've provided against that.
Oh, how?
Well, I signed up for the new genetic thin air colony. You see, they don't check you off when you enter the space cruiser. I've already been cleared.
Oh, there's the cruiser.
Is it 0300?
Yes, it is.
Oh, there's your answer. Whoever I know thinks I'm on it.
This is one of the disadvantages of living so close to the spaceport. But my wife and I weren't about to look a gift house in the mouth. So, no one knows you're still here on Neptune, eh? Who is going?
25 females, 25 males. Now there'll be one short.
Where did you say they were headed for?
Well, Venus, where else? I shan't be missed there. Or here.
Tell me, how is your heart? No, no, don't tell me. You wouldn't know. Lie down on that couch and we'll soon find out. Give me your wrist.
Are you taking my paw?
Be quiet. 5, 6, 7, and 8. Fine. 85. Quite good.
How did you figure that?
Count for 6 seconds and multiply by 10. Good, strong pulse. Have you ever had any heart irregularities?
Well, none that I know of. But I don't understand the question. I mean, if you're going...
I don't wish to inflict any unnecessary pain. Now, Ted, before I begin, think again. Coldly, calmly, dispassionately. You have absolutely no desire to change your mind?
None whatsoever. What's that... that liquid you're pouring in that glass?
The first liquid you must drink. Tech, you've asked me to rid your mind of its present state. You've told me if it means death, you don't care. But you won't die, I can promise you that. All right, here. Drink it down.
Thank you. What have I swallowed? How long will it take to have an effect?
10 minutes.
You have reached down from your seat with the gods, Doctor, and have lifted me up to glorious peace and rest.
Close your eyes, young man.
If you only knew how I have prayed for this moment.
But I'm not offering you death, you know that.
You are giving me the end of this mechanized horror we call the 21st century.
No, I'm not promising you that either. The facts of life on Neptune won't change, only your awareness.
Yes, to stop knowing, being aware.
Tech, your body now belongs to science.
What shall I be used for?
You will be the first human ever to undergo a brain transplant.
Life-taking or life-giving? Hippocrates, the first doctor who wrote the code for medical practice in 400 BC, also wrote, "From the brain, and from the brain only, arise our pleasures, joys, laughter, and jests." as well as our sorrows, pains, griefs, and tears. Keck, the 25-year-old 21st century man, can no longer burden his brain with struggles and unhappiness, and soon shall know them no more. Revealing life in the year 2120 under a crystal plexiglass dome rising 700 feet at its peak. Outside, on this inhospitable planet Neptune, it is cold and nitrogen-laden. Inside the dome city, there is warm and breathable air, a city of buildings, of young people, and of dreams, like those of Tech, the young man in Dr. Vigo's laboratory, relinquishing his tomorrows.
Delicious. I feel it going.
Doctor? Reflexes weakening.
Doctor?
Eyesight going. Can you feel my hand on your arm, Tech? I'm gripping your arm tightly.
Feel?
Numb. Extremities are numb.
Doctor!
Past hearing. Can you hear me snapping my fingers at your ear? Tech, can you? Hearing's gone.
Dripping.
Here in the hall. Let me come in and sit down. I'm so tired.
Now, you know no one has admitted into my laboratory.
Why am I always so tired?
Because you haven't adapted. Because you don't do the prescribed exercises. You don't do one thing to help strengthen your lungs.
Don't be angry, Victor, please.
Fine example you set to the wife of the doctor. I keep making excuses for you all the time. Now go away and let me get back to work.
Victor, I had this terrible dream. I woke up with this ominous dread. Did someone come in?
Someone? In here? In the house?
Could it have been my dream? But I heard...
What did you hear?
I thought I heard someone in the house just now. I don't know. I was sure I heard footsteps. Walking up the stairs. Two people. Yourself and someone else.
Vivian, I'm shutting this door. I do not wish to be disturbed. If the security people call and they need me, tell them not today. I can't see anyone today. I don't care how many space travelers need health clearances. Understand?
Oh, yes, dear.
You'd better go to bed. You're dead on your feet.
Waiting to see me, Mrs. Vigo?
Yes, sir. Are you the security police for this district?
Yes. What's on your mind?
May I talk to you privately? This is a little difficult for me, and I...
All right, Mrs. Vigo. This way to my office. Please do seat yourself. Dr. Vigo, know you're here?
That's just the point, sir. He doesn't.
Oh?
Can I ask you, sir, what I'm going to tell you? That you'll keep it confidential?
You have my word.
If the doctor ever found out that I'd come here to the security police, I mean, his own wife...
You have my word, Mrs. Vigo. But why? I don't understand.
I suppose I ought to know better, to trust what he does completely, but what's been going on in our house for weeks now? In his laboratory. It's so horrible. I'm afraid to live under the same roof any longer.
Vivian, where's our dinner? I mean, my dinner.
I'm coming. The steps get harder every day.
Just hand me the tray as you always do.
Here. Oh, so much food I could barely carry it. But nothing spilled.
Thank you. Breakfast at the usual time. Good night.
Victor?
Yes? Now what is it?
Victor, how long are we going to go on like this?
What are you talking about?
You have shut yourself up in there for 2 months now. You've given up all your other patients. You don't give health clearances anymore.
That's my business, isn't it?
Victor, it's no life. It's certainly no life for me. You've moved into the laboratory. We're never together. I've never seen so much food as I bring up here every day. Baby food. Nothing but baby food and sandwiches for you. We could feed a whole nursery of babies on what I carry up here.
Are you quite finished with your complaints? Don't you think my animals eat? That's what experimental surgery is all about. You've got to keep them fed and healthy.
But I never hear them bark anymore. Victor, there's something going on in there. And I wish you'd level with me.
There's nothing going on in my laboratory. So go away. And the next time I ring the bell, I'll expect all the food that's ordered. Good night. Here we are, my dear Tech. Spinach and carrots and... Now, let's see what's in this dish. Oh, you like this. Oh, nice hot sweet potatoes all mashed up so they'll go down easily. Oh, my dear Tech, I know it's annoying for you to be tied down so, but it's for both our sakes. I'll have to tie down your arms if you carry on like that. Now put them down at your sides. There's a good boy. Now, we'll just open up this nutrition hatch in your neck. And there goes your food. Good, isn't it? The beginning of the fourth month, and I'm very pleased with Tech. Where I failed with removing the cerebrum from the dogs, I have succeeded with the human. The dogs became idiotic, but retained their physical senses to some degree. But with Tech, an opportunity of a lifetime, and I have succeeded. An opportunity of a lifetime, and I have succeeded. As we go, you say these are your husband's actual notes?
Yes, they are, sir. He had to go out in a hurry this morning, and he didn't lock the door to his office. If it weren't that I was so frightened, I wouldn't have brought them here.
Well, where did the doctor have to go this morning?
There was a call coming in from Calypso 6. He said he wouldn't be back for a few hours. Please, can you read it and tell me what it means?
Well, I'll try. In the cerebrum, the intellect and the affections, in the cerebellum, the senses and the motor forces, in the medulla oblongata, control of the diaphragm. Oh, Mrs. Vigo, this is all very technical medical stuff. It certainly doesn't appear to me that anything strange is going on. Okay, I suggest you go home, put your husband's notes back where you found them, and forget all about this.
He's had a big steel door put in outside the laboratory. The windows where the dogs were kept are all boarded up, and I don't hear them bark anymore. Something he doesn't want me to know about is going on.
Well, I don't doubt it, Mrs. Vigo. Washington wouldn't be calling him on Calypso 6 if his work was to be general knowledge. But excuse me. Yes, hello, District Chief George speaking.
District Chief, this is Dr. Vigo.
Yes, just a moment. It's your husband, Mrs. Vigo.
How did he know I was here? What can I do?
No, calm yourself. He doesn't know you're here. He won't see on the picture phone. I won't switch on the rest until Ange. Now, sit quietly. Yes, Dr. Vigo.
Are we alone?
Well, if you mean just you and I talking, why, yes.
Has there been any report into your district office in the past hour about my wife?
Your wife, Dr. Vigo? Why should there be?
I'm at the Earth Consul's. I've been here all morning. We're waiting for a call through on Calypso 6. I've activated the receivers at my house, but there's no answer.
Was that so unusual, Doctor? Couldn't your wife have just gone out?
That's just the point. She never goes out.
No, we haven't had any report on her.
Well, the reason I was so concerned about my wife is that, I fear she is losing her reason. She imagines things. And I wouldn't want her wandering about the colony, you understand? She might do herself some damage.
In an age of space and space travel, of planets connected by jet shuttles and interplanetary ferries, there comes a point where mechanisms are shut down and man prevails. Life as we are picturing it may one day exist in the remote regions of distant galaxies, yet the human element will always remain. Man is man, with the same wisdom and the same failings, telling the same truths and the same lies. What a strange society it is, this colony on the planet Neptune, bounded by plexiglass, half a globe encasing 10 round miles. Picture it, the tallest structure on an airstrip outside the sphere, a tail-standing spaceship, 300 feet high, dwarfing humans around it. And there are always humans, always a finger to activate a solenoid, a voice to activate a switch, an eye to read a scope, if they remain sane enough.
I heard what my husband said, but I don't think you believe him either. He said he doubted my sanity.
Well, now, he didn't put it quite that way.
Don't you see why he said it? Just in case I might be telling people what I know about his work as I'm telling you.
Now, these papers you took this morning from your husband's laboratory, is he going to miss them?
I hope not.
And you're quite convinced Dr. Vigo is no longer confining himself to experiment with animals, that somehow he has, let's call it a human guinea pig?
I don't know if it's human. It eats and eats. It makes terrifying noises.
But he won't let you see what he's doing.
Oh, no. My husband gets very angry when I bring up the food trays if I stand in the door too long.
Mm-hmm. And he just said, you heard him. That you are imagining things, Mrs. Beagle.
Vivian, where are you? Vivian, I'm back.
Oh, look at the time, 6:00. Where is she? I better hustle up some food for Tech or I'm in deep trouble. What's in this pot on the stove? Looks like some sort of cereal. Oatmeal, maybe. Well, Tech, it's oatmeal for your supper, old boy. Don't blame me. Which burner is it? She's back. Stupid, forgot her key. Coming!
Dr. Vigo?
Who are you?
Oh, we spoke a few hours ago, District Chief George.
Oh, yes, come on in. I thought you were my wife.
Well, it's about your wife I've come to see you, Doctor. Part of my job is to smooth troubled waters, especially if they concern our important colonies.
You found her?
Yes. As a matter of fact, we're holding her right now.
Yeah, but I need her here. I'd better get her. No, I can't leave right now. Would you please bring her along?
Doctor, we're inclined to agree with you.
Your wife does talk a little irrationally.
Yes, I know that. I told you that. But right now, I need her here.
Well, I was going to recommend... Mrs. Vigo have any relatives on Earth?
You mean still alive? I don't know. I think so.
Well, I was going to recommend... Dr. Vigo, do you smell something burning?
Great galaxies, it's the oatmeal.
Tech, I want you to know that I'm very pleased with your progress. You're becoming stronger every day without the encumbrance of a mind. It's the mind that defeats man. Oh, you agree. I admit I haven't done a perfect job on you. The nutrition hatch is imperfect. I know you're getting air into your stomach and that causes discomfort. I'm going to replace it with some kind of valve. But the silver vent pipe to your lungs works fine. And you're getting to make intelligible words by breathing air through it. Now just try to speak more clearly. More clearly. Understand, Tech? Excellent. I knew you'd master speaking. Purely a matter of sound vibrations and resonance. That metal plate on your chest is your ears. A diaphragm which vibrates to all sounds, voices included. Hungry. You're still hungry? I've given you plenty to eat. No more until morning.
Hey, what are you doing? Tech, let go of me. Put your arms down, you big ox. Let go of me. You're squeezing the breath out of me. Stop.
Victor, where are you?
I have the lights all switched off in the front hall. That's better. Why is the house so dark?
Victor, are you upstairs?
Probably in the laboratory with all the doors closed.
Victor, I'm coming up. Victor, is that you on the landing? Victor, what is it? Why are you lying there? What happened to you?
Oh, my poor darling. How do you feel now?
I'm all right. I must have fainted or something.
You're overworking, that's why.
Vivian, will you promise me something?
Anything. Oh, Victor, do you realize this is the first conversation you and I have had together in months that wasn't about bringing food to the laboratory?
And you won't tell a soul until I'm ready?
I promise.
What time is it?
Midnight.
I think he's asleep by now. I'm going to show you something, Vivian.
What is it? It's so dark in here, I can't see anything.
No, I don't want to turn on the lights. He's very susceptible to radiation changes, and even the low level of amperage into a lamp would disturb him.
Him?
Try and adjust your eyes to the dark.
What is it? Is it alive?
Very much so.
I see. No, it isn't. A giant. He's sitting in a huge chair, covered in a blanket.
The chair specially made. It's iron and bolted to the floor.
Does he... I don't see... Is his head bent over?
He has no head. Not the kind that you would recognize.
But why, Victor, why?
It is the human mind that controls the body. The aging process, the survival process. I have done away with those limitations. I've done a transplant.
But what have you put where the head is?
Vivian, come closer. Now can you see what I've done?
Oh, the poor creature. But why? Why? What's the good of it?
Tech is twice the size of an ordinary man. You are looking at a boon to mankind.
But that thing up there where his neck was...
Ah, hair, ears, cheeks, nose, mouth, they're all useless appendages. They stop up, they sag, they interfere. Hearing and sight are not necessary. Tech can tell everything, respond and obey by reacting to vibrations. He can be ordered. He will fulfill. Now, he won't hurt you, Vivian. In fact, I think he likes you.
He's so enormous. And so frightening.
He won't wait now. He keeps eating and growing, and he needs his sleep. I'm going to light this kerosene lamp. Electrical current wakes him, but fire does not. I'm holding it high. Hear that? Can you hear him?
What is he doing?
Breathing through a tube. Now you can see his head plainly.
A round metal ball on top of his shoulders. And that's all.
My research and discovery. The silver tube on his right is what he's breathing through. And here, on the left, the nutrition hatch leading to his stomach.
Those gigantic arms and fingers. Was he a real person once?
He was Tech. A young man who came to see me 6 months ago, unable to bear his thoughts, unable to live in a scientific world.
Victor, let me go now. I can't bear to look at him anymore. What use is such a monster?
Didn't I tell you, Vivian? Tech, my own Tech. If he is housed and fed, he could live forever. Six months. Tech has an insatiable hunger. He can no longer stand erect in the laboratory, but must hunch over. 11 feet high, 5 feet across. A living machine. I don't know how to stop the growing process. If I cut down on his food, he rampages around and is almost uncontrollable. Tomorrow, I shall put in a code call to Washington on Calypso 6 to tell them that I have created the permanent man.
Victor?
Yes, it's me. I'm just leaving for the Earth Council.
Victor, I don't want to stay in the house alone with it. Let me come with you.
You can't. If something should happen, someone has to give the alarm. But besides, you have nothing to fear from Tech. Tech reacts through vibrations. All these months, as he has been growing, it's you who have brought him his trays of food. He cares for you.
Don't say it.
I swear to you, he would never, never hurt you.
All right. Before you go out, Victor, take me up to the laboratory. I want to see for myself.
Good morning, Tech. I've brought you Vivian.
Good morning.
His talking is getting so much better. How are you this morning, Tech?
Very sleeping. Very good. Good.
Go on over to him.
Hello, Tech. Good Tech. He's putting his arms around me. It's like being folded into a rug.
Yeah, I told you he wouldn't hurt you.
He is very gentle. Sort of cuddling me. Why is he pointing to his head sphere?
Trying to tell us something. Yes, Vivian has a head and you have a head. Now put your hands down.
Goodbye, Tech. I'll visit you again.
Head good. You too.
I think he wants me to have a head like his. That's what he's trying to tell us.
Yes. Why, yes. That never occurred to me. He's very fond of you, dear.
Victor, why are you locking the door?
Sit down, my dear, and let's talk.
Space Age of Horizons Unlimited began over 20 years ago in October 1957, when the Russian Sputnik orbited the Earth. Since then, landing on the moon and probes into infinite space, life on Neptune is no more improbable than the predicted landings on Mars and Venus, but always by man, bringing with him ambition and failure. Separating fantasy from fact becomes thinner and shorter with every passing year. Man is constantly chinning himself on his own dreams, trying to outrun, outdo himself, avoiding death, seeking permanence. What he will do in the worlds beyond is beyond imagining. In the meantime, we of Mystery Theater will try to guess. Our cast included Robert Dryden, Terry Keane, and Russell Horton. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.